I'm Rachel Gottbaum. Dr. Steven Nissen is a cardiologist and the interim chairman of the Department of Cardiovascular Medicine at the Cleveland Clinic. He was a consultant to the FDA's Drug Safety and Risk Management Advisory Committee for recent hearings about stimulants used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. He's written a prospective article for the April 6th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine called ADHD Drugs and Cardiovascular Risk. Dr. Nissen, why did you write this prospective?
Well, of course, I've been concerned about the drugs, and that concern really stemmed from the participation in the Drug Safety Advisory Panel meeting. In a nutshell, the FDA wanted us to discuss methods for studying these drugs. How would we go about it? What kind of epidemiological or randomized trial studies do we do? They did not want us to make recommendations about labeling for the drugs. What happened is in mid-afternoon, after I'd heard a lot of the testimony and reviewed a lot of the data, I felt there was sufficient evidence of the potential for harm that something should be done. And so I made a motion, and that motion called for a black box warning. And next thing we knew, the meeting was rather a completely different meeting than intended.
When you recommended this black box warning on these drugs, what was the basis of your recommendation?
First of all, these drugs are all in the class known as sympathomimetic amines. The drugs, because of the nature of what they do, are both central nervous system stimulants and they are cardiovascular stimulants. They raise heart rate and they raise blood pressure. Two drugs in this class have already received regulatory actions by the FDA. Ephedra was banned by the FDA, although that's still a matter of court litigation, you know, after there were a number of very serious adverse events, heart attack, stroke, and even sudden death. And another related drug, phenylpropanolamine, is now being recommended to be banned from dietary supplements by the FDA. Those bans were recommended because of pretty compelling evidence. For example, phenylpropanolamine increased by 16-fold the risk of hemorrhagic stroke in women. And what I said to the panel is, look, you have two drugs that are extremely closely related congeners, and yet we are treating 4 million Americans with these agents, 2.5 million children, 1.5 million adults, and 10% of adults taking these powerful stimulants are over the age of 50. My concerns stem from the understanding that if you raise heart rate and blood pressure, particularly in adults, you will increase the risk of myocardial infarction, stroke, and sudden death. I became convinced during the course of the testimony during the day that there was a lack of respect for the potential for these drugs to cause harm. And because of that, their use had grown an extraordinary rate.
Why hasn't this information been out there before? Why do we wait until 4 million people are taking these drugs to decide we better recommend a black box warning?
Well, we have a problem in America, and it's a fundamental problem that must be solved. How do we determine when a drug is risky? Well, there's something called the AERS system, the Adverse Event Reporting System, which is an FDA system for reporting serious adverse effects with drugs. It is an entirely voluntary system. So if a patient comes to see me and they have a life-threatening or even a fatal reaction to a drug, I am not compelled to report that to the federal government. And so you never get a really clear idea of what's going on from this AERS database system. What we did review were 25 cases of sudden death among children taking the ADHD drugs. We heard testimony from a mother that had a child, I believe around 12 or 13 years old, that received one dose of a drug, which is a mixed amphetamine salts known as Adderall. And within an hour, the child was dead. And on autopsy, the child had hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, a rare but important condition in which stimulating the heart can lead to a fatal reaction. Now, you can look at this several ways. You can say, well, it wasn't the drug that caused the death of the child. It was the fact that they had a cardiac condition. But it was an unknown cardiac condition. It was silent. And there is no question that there are children out there that are potentially being exposed to these drugs in whom we don't know that they have underlying heart disease and who can be extremely vulnerable to the effects of a cardiac stimulant.
So are adverse cardiovascular events actually rare and simply showing up because use is so widespread?
Well, we don't know. See, that's the problem is we don't know what the numerator is and we don't know it. We know better, more about the denominator, but we don't know. We saw 25 cases. Is that 25 cases? Are they 1%, 10%, or 50% of the number of sudden deaths that actually occurred?
Does the FDA need to require post-marketing surveillance or require adverse events reporting? What needs to be done here, Dr. Nissen?
Well, I think that one of the answers actually, believe it or not, may be the electronic health record. And suppose that we had a nationwide system, and we're going to get there within the next few years, I believe, where records were set up in such a way that when serious adverse events occur, there is relatively automatic reporting. I mean, that's one potential solution is to use technology. The other thing is I think that we have to strengthen our laws around what the FDA is allowed to do in its relationship with manufacturers. Now they can reach an agreement to do, let's say, a phase four safety study of a newly approved drug, but they have no way to absolutely compel industry to do those studies, except, of course, I suppose, to threaten to withdraw approval of the drug, which they virtually never do. So I think we have to get the system back into balance again for sure. The other thing that seems to happen is that marketing gets way ahead of good science. Now, I must say to you, and it's very important for everybody to understand, that ADHD is a very real disease and a very important disease. And I believe there are children for whom these drugs represent a greater benefit than risk. Let's suppose there's a 1 in 100,000 risk of a sudden death event. But let's suppose that you have a child who's literally not able to function in school, who's going to fail, whose whole life is going to be ruined because they can't pay attention in school. If I were confronted with that sort of a decision, I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist, I might well inform the parents of the risks and together we might make a decision to treat. But I want those parents to be informed. I want them to get a patient guide which says, we know these drugs do increase risks. I want the physician prescribing the drugs to know about the risks. I want the physician's hand to tremble a little bit before they write the prescription for the drug. I want them to worry a little bit about whether they're doing the right thing. And if they have that worry, maybe they won't prescribe it for millions of children. Maybe they only prescribe it for 100,000 children who really need it, where the benefits truly do exceed the risks.
Dr. Steven Nissen is a cardiologist and the interim chairman of the Department of Cardiovascular Medicine at the Cleveland Clinic.